¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
Hello, I'm Alice Arnold. Welcome to the Magic Musicals and Theatre Podcast. And in this episode, we're going to be delving into the life of Kerry Ellis. Well, welcome to the Magic Musicals and Theatre Podcast. I've got theatre royalty sitting opposite me. I have. It is the one and only Kerry Ellis. Now, we start our interviews, Kerry, always.
Yes.
With a cupcake, but today is a little bit different. I've got a different cake for you. I've got one for my producer, Sarah, as well, and one for myself. So sometimes there's like a choice and you have to pick the cupcakes and Sarah and I look in disappointment as the guest takes the ones we really want. But today we've got Portuguese custard. We're all pleased about that, aren't we?
I had no idea I was going to get cake.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
It's a little bonus of coming on the Mellow Magic Musicals and this, blah, blah, the Magic Musicals and
this
podcast.
This is lovely.
You can have it now or you can save it.
I will take it
Do you want to take it after?
If that's okay.
Yeah.
Oh, how lovely. Yeah. Oh, I'm so excited.
I like them too. I'm looking forward to mine, which will come in a bit. So there we go. We've got the cake moment over.
I'm sold.
Now, shall I just list? We could be here all night.
Oh.
The things that you've done. You've done everything. You've done Elphaba, of course, in Wicked and on Broadway.
Yeah.
As well as the West End. And Nancy and Oliver, Liza, My Fair Lady, Helen and Miss... Lots and lots. And you've also, and you just mentioned this to me before we started recording, you've done a lot of collaborations with Brian May. Tell me about the whole Brian May thing.
So Brian and I actually met, he actually came to see My Fair Lady, which was my first West End show, and they were auditioning for We Will Rock You at the time, and he saw me in the show and basically asked me to go and audition for We Will Rock You, which I did. And then we met, and then alongside my theatre career, I've had a career developing music with Brian and touring, and we've done about 3 or 4 albums. We've been on 4 or 5 tours. We're, you know, performed all over the world, and yeah, so it's kind of...
And it's that completely different sort of music than musical theatre, because I think, well, he saw you in My Fair Lady and asked you to audition for We Will Rock You, and I'm thinking that's quite a leap there in style,
yeah.
I would imagine.
It almost doesn't make sense.
No, but are you a rock chick?
Yeah, I mean, I like to think so, and I think obviously Brian saw that element in me all those years ago. I mean, it wasn't until we were doing cast albums and I was actually recording the song that I sang in the show, which was No One But You. They went off to record it in Spain, I think it was, for a famous Spanish singer who sang it. And they had this big, huge orchestra, which they recorded the track. And he brought the track back and I sang on this track. And it was kind of the first time we'd been in the studio together. And it was then that he kind of suggested that we did a little bit more of kind of sussing out what I might sing, you know, if I was to do my own album. And it took 7 years, but it did happen. And we did my first album, which was Anthems, but it did take a long time for us to kind of feel out what my style was, what we were going to do. And it took a few years, but... We've been working together ever since, really.
Yeah, and I guess he's older and wiser. And did he sort of guide you into, you know, bring out things in you that you didn't know that you had in you?
Yeah, I think initially, definitely, he did, you know, and that's where this rock chick, I think, came from. I had this instinct in me, I think, but he definitely developed it in the music. And what's interesting from our first album of Anthems and where we are now, and we've just released Golden Days, however many years that was between, we've really developed because we've actually gone out on tour together and performed together. And obviously I've got older and I was like early 20s when we met, and which is only a few years ago. I know.
Yeah, obviously. Just last week.
But yeah, I've grown as a person. I've grown as an artist, and he's kind of been very respectful of that, and how we have performed and worked together has changed, and it still is changing. And we kind of go off and do our own thing. I go and do a few shows now and again. He goes off and tours with Queen and writes books and does his animal charity stuff. And then we kind of come back together and tour and make albums. Yeah. So it's great.
It's really nice to hear. That's just such an unusual relationship on paper. And
it
just sounds a lovely relationship of sort of, you know,
it is.
Cooperation and collaboration between the two of you. But is it back to the beginning?
Oh.
You're a Suffolk girl.
I am, yes.
Yes, yes. And then you went to Lane Theatre Arts. So all this, it was kind of mapped out for you, was it? This future in musical theatre? Oh, it sounds like it sort of was.
I don't know. I mean, I think as a kid, I knew that I wanted to be on stage and sing, and I wanted to do everything musical. I wanted to act, I wanted to sing, I wanted to dance, and I didn't have a clear view of what I wanted to do, but back then I was from a very small village. I went to a local dance school and my dance teacher went to Lane Theatre Arts. So it was kind of a way we knew or an opportunity. I auditioned for Lane, I got in, did 3 years training. And then theatre was kind of the natural progression because back then there was probably 5 or 6 big theatre colleges, and that's what they produced musical theatre or dance artists, and it was kind of what happened. Whereas now there's 50 colleges that you can be very specific. You can be in a songwriting college, you can be in a dance college, in an acting college. It's all very specific. So back then I was kind of just jumping in and seeing what happened, and then I got into a musical, and it just all took off, really.
Well, the big break, as far as I could see, was when you were Martine McCutcheon's understudy in My Fair Lady. And you weren't her first understudy.
No.
We love an understudy story here on Mellow Magic, can I just say? We do. We love an understudy story because we've done Rhea Jones So your understudy, because at least Rhea was first cover.
She was. Yeah,
but you
she
weren't
was.
Even first. You were second reserve here.
I was.
Came off from the bench. How did that feel? Were you properly rehearsed in? It's my first question.
Not at all.
No.
So when we opened the show at the National, the show always was going to do 3 months at the National and then do a transfer to Drury Lane. And apparently at the National, you don't even really have first or second covers as such. We were kind of put in place for the transfer. I don't know why that is, but so Alexandra J, I had to remember then, it was so long ago, was the first understudy, and Martine got sick in kind of rehearsals, and she went off in the previews, and Alex went on. So, I mean, I was around the rehearsals anyway, so I kind of was taking in what was going on. And when you're younger, you're a little bit more... I don't know, you're just not daunted by it. I think now I'd absolutely be horrified, whereas then I was just taking...
It makes me panic just even thinking about it.
Yeah, well, it does
really,
me now.
To be
but
honest.
Then I think I was just so excited by it. And I got the call. This was still in... the show had just opened and Martine was sick. Alex had gone off because she was very young as well. I think she was 19 at the time. So to be put all of that pressure on her, she got sick. And I think I got a call that morning... And the resident director said, right, you're going to be on this evening. And I think I had about 4 hours. I hadn't rehearsed anything. I hadn't been on the set.
You knew it, luckily.
I knew it.
Even though it was quite early in the run. Because,
yeah.
I mean, there was a chance you might not have known it all.
Yeah, but I think when you're... I used to see that was my job. And regardless if anybody's taught you anything, your job is to be able to go on. And regardless of... You might not have the exact information, but... That's the job, to be ready to go. And I knew everything by watching. And I just remember being put in a studio with the resident director, Sean Kerrison. And we literally, the two of us, did the whole show in this tiny little room in about 3 or 4 hours. And then literally I was on that night. I did a few technical things and I was thrown on that night. And I still don't remember it. It was mental.
Well, I mean, it's things like costume changes and exits and entrances and all that stuff, isn't it? You know,
yeah.
You probably knew the big songs, but it's well, hang on, where's my dress?
Everything
what am I wearing
else.
In this scene? What do you know? It's all that stuff, which you know, rehearsals are about doing that and all the previews and the costume change that takes, you know, 15 minutes the first night takes 10 seconds a month later, you know.
I mean, I think those big shows like that are like, it's a little bit like Superman running into the phone box. You literally run off and there's like about five people that just, they change you. And it's like you don't even realise it happens. And I remember it vividly on My Fair Lady that there's a tiny little shoebox of a corridor. And I remember literally running off and it was almost like being transformed and I don't remember it happening. I kind of moved an arm and moved a leg and that was it and I was done and a wig change and thrown back on.
Pushed back on again.
And that's kind of how it happens. I was very fortunate to work with some amazing people. Opposite people like Jonathan Price, who was so gracious and so, he was so helpful and guided me so well. I'll be forever grateful for his knowledge and his support so early on.
Oh, that's nice, because I sometimes wonder when understudies go on, if sometimes the rest of the cast are all almost waiting for them to trip up. And it's really nice to hear if they're not, if they're really genuinely being supportive, because there is judgment there, I think, from the other cast. You know, oh, is she as good as, you know, how is she going to cope with this?
Yeah, I think so.
It's nice to hear, you know, true support.
It's interesting being on the other side now, because if obviously a cover goes on opposite me, because I've been there and I've gone through that situation and that pressure and that drama, I do see it from a different side and I have total, you know, empathy and support and all of those things for that person going on. And for four actors, it is kind of nice because it makes a bit of a change. We do eight shows a week. It can, you're doing the same thing eight times a week. So to have a bit of something different is welcomed.
And I know one of your heroines is Ruthie Henschel.
Oh, I love
her. Our very own Ruthie, because she's here on Men and Magic, and we all love Ruthie.
Oh, she's brilliant.
So are you still in touch with Ruthie? Do you see her?
Yeah. Well, Ruthie was a bit of one of my icons from college, because she was a Lanes girl, went to the same college. And I remember listening to Ruthie and singing along to Ruthie's cast albums that she was on. And then I did meet her. Years and years ago, we did, a concert together, and I think I fangirled over her. I kind of just, oh, my God, you're amazing, and this, that, and the other. And then more recently, in recent years, we've done concerts and bits and pieces together, and I just adore her. She's just fantastic.
Well, she's lovely and generous and kind, and we adore her as well.
Yay, we love Ruthie.
Now, because you're one of the top performers in the West End, that opens, obviously, other doors for you. And I was doing a little bit of research and I just wanted you to tell me about Flying with the Red Arrows.
Oh, casually.
Yes, I know.
As you do.
As you do. How did that happen?
Yeah. So I was talking about my first album with Brian, which was Anthems. And we toured that album. And we ended up doing, I don't quite know how it happened, but we ended up doing a show at RAF Cranwell, and it was like a big open air concert, and it raised some money. It was a charity event. It was kind of in their grounds as such, so we got invited up for the day, and we went to go and look around the grounds and spent the day with the officers and had dinner, and it was very lovely and we were really looked after. It was wonderful. And then as a thank you for doing the concert for them, they offered us a go in the Red Arrows, and it was just the most mental thing I've ever done in my life.
I mean,
it was
were you sick?
I was sick.
Yeah, yeah. I would.
I was sick, but apparently most people are sick due to like the G-force and the pressure, and you're pumped full of oxygen. And I remember having to take off my mask get the sick bag out. And that was a fine moment. And but it was the most incredible experience. I got to kind of fly the plane and it was mental. And Brian was in the other one opposite me. And it was just...
Did you wave at each other?
Yeah, basically. We've got pictures of it. It's unbelievable.
That sounds incredible. Now, of course, the reason we've got you in really is to talk about your new musical, Heaven and Earth. Mm. Now, we've had Hugh Maynard, he's already been in to talk about, but he talked, this was some time ago, you see, and he didn't really know very much about it.
Yeah.
I'm hoping you're going to know more
I hope
now
so.
than he knew, because it was all a bit mythical, course, it is a bit mythical because it's about Adam and Eve.
It is.
And the myth of Adam and Eve.
Yes.
But so you tell me a little bit more about you're playing, I'm guessing, Eve.
I am playing Eve, yes. Well, we're in the thick of rehearsals at the moment.
Oh, good. So you do know a bit more about it.
I know
it,
a little
then.
Bit more, yes. And first of all, we're having a great time. Our director, Raki Flews, is just brilliant. She's a joy to be around. She runs an amazing rehearsal room. She's so inspiring. She's inspiring us all to jump around and be crazy. Sarah Jeffs, who's written the piece, again, is somebody that I don't think has ever written a musical before. It's a brand new thing for her.
Is it all sung? Is there speaking?
It's pretty much sung through. Okay. And it is a little bit like Les Mis meets Cirque du Soleil meets Jesus Christ Superstar meets Children of Eden meets Batman meets Game of Thrones. It's got all this stuff in it. And I think, I don't even know how to describe it, but I think it could, because we also don't know what it is yet because it is a new show. It's going to be in arenas. So it's huge.
Yes. So how do you rehearse for an arena? Are you in a very, very big rehearsal?
We are with this kind of scaffolding set. So they obviously we haven't got the whole set in there because it can't fit and it's not built yet. And we're kind of running around jumping on scaffolding at the moment, which is great fun. And I think it's just going to be a real visionary, spectacular. There's like a lot of new sound design on it, which is mental. And they keep trying to explain it to me, and where you can hear all different things all around the stadium. But it's very magical.
And is there a cast of thousands?
There's a cast of 32.
Okay.
The orchestrations are arranged for 92 piece orchestras. So that's going to be crazy. Wow. I think we're going to have choirs join us. Russell Watson is obviously performing. And it's funny because I don't know how much I'm allowed to say. I know that there's a lot of magic. I know there's a lot of like things
there's
that people won't have seen before. Tricks
and effects.
People disappearing and people and things.
See, when you say that you've been leaping around, in my mind, Eve is not a leaper.
Well,
do you know what I mean?
she is in this show.
She is in this. Okay. Leaping fully clothed?
Oh, yeah. This is, I don't know how much I can say about this, but I've just had a costume fitting actually this morning.
I'm glad there is a costume.
There is a costume, definitely. I've had two children. I mean, it's not good. It's not good. But no, it's going to be... I want to say, I don't know how much I'm allowed to say.
Go on, tell us.
It's a beautiful story. It's a beautiful story, and I think it will take people on a journey. The music's fantastic, and I think it will be a great piece of escapism theatre for 2 hours or whatever it is.
Yeah. It sounds like an amazing event. It's an extraordinary idea and risky, but...
It is risky. But what's been interesting for me, I like new things. I like when people bring a new idea to me, it's interesting and I always want to develop stuff and put my stamp on something. So when I was bought this, I didn't really grow up around religion and the story of Adam and Eve. People kind of know it, but I didn't know it in the depths that I know it now. So it was really interesting to me, this whole concept of something completely new. It's kind of a musical meets a concert, meets a visual... I can't remember what Raki explained it as the other day, and it was genius, and I should have remembered. But I think it's just going to be...
written it down so you could have told me.
I know. I think it's just going to be an experience. I think we're going to take people on a journey, and it's people, I think, are going to come out going, wow.
And you open in Birmingham in December, I think.
We do, yeah.
And then go to other enormous venues.
Yeah, I think we've got about 14 venues all over the country at the moment. And they're all for about 3 or 4 days each. So we do about 4 or 5 shows.
And you've got
venue.
To have a break between, because obviously the sets,
it's
presumably
huge.
Takes a while to set up in the next arena. It's
massive.
Not like a bus and truck theatre tour. It's much, much bigger than that.
It's huge. So, yeah. Going to be fun.
Well, I can't wait to hear about it. I mean, you did mention now that you've got two little boys, I think, haven't you?
Yeah.
Are they singing or dancing otherwise?
Kind of. It's So I've got Alfie, who's nearly 4, and Freddie, who's nearly 2. And they
lovely
are...
Lovely names.
Oh, thank you. They do respond to music, and they do. They are active. They're really boisterous boys, and they're very active. Whether they're graceful and musical, I don't know.
Bit early to know. They're amazing. Okay, some general musical theatre questions.
Oh dear.
Yes. What role would you like to do most that you haven't done yet?
Oh, that's a good one. I mean, there's tons of stuff. I don't think I'm quite old enough to do yet. Things like Sunset Boulevard, Norma, you know, Norma Desmond. I saw Rhea do it at the Coliseum and she was just magical.
Yeah, you see, I missed it because she texted me and said, I'm on tonight. I wasn't in the country.
Oh.
Couldn't come when I got back. Bought my tickets for the Monday night and they put Thingy back on again.
Put Glenn back on. How dare she come back?
I know. I said, no, I've seen Glenn in it. I want to see Rhea.
Yeah, she was fabulous.
Yes, I heard. Oh, she's opening in it.
Yeah, she is. I must go again, actually.
For the Leicester curve,
isn't
it?
Again. Yeah. Things like Gypsy. And then I guess more recent stuff. I saw, I was in New York last week. And I saw Dear Evan Hansen. I mean, there's not really a role in it for me, but it's such an amazing show. Ben Platt was just genius, as were the rest of the company. I could maybe play the mother, I think, at a push, possibly. But Waitress, the musical I love, that would be something interesting because I love Sarah Bareilles, the music that's written by her. Mm. But yeah, I like new things. It's for me now, because I've done some really iconic... fabulous female roles. I think just to play something new that I get
to create something yourself, isn't
like
it?
This, than, it's just, than go it's
in,
lovely.
Yeah, no, rather than take over
yeah.
from
and
above
you don't
a part
know
that's
what
been done
it's going to be.
Create from the beginning, which sounds fantastic.
Yeah,
okay,
great.
one song. You're allowed to sing. It's like Desert Island Discs, but it isn't.
No,
just pick one.
That I like to sing.
Mm, that you want to sing.
That's so difficult. I guess a song that's very important to me is No One But You / Only the Good Die Young, which was initially a Queen song that Brian wrote. And it was the first song I sang in We Will Rock You. So I've gone on to sing it all over the world with various orchestras and performed it with Brian. I've performed it obviously in the show. And I guess it's the one song that has so many meanings to me, so probably that.
Yeah, well, that's a good pick.
Yeah.
Because it's not just the song, it's everything that it's done for you and with you and all of that.
Yeah.
Which is lovely. Well, lots and lots of luck. I don't know when we're getting to see you in this. I don't know if...
Well, we do...
Not
we
in
do
Birmingham,
come to
I think,
Wembley,
but you come to... Oh, Wembley.
No, crazy.
Oh, that little cozy, intimate venue of Wembley.
Well, that's what's exciting about this. I've done one arena tour before with War of the Worlds, but... This is going everywhere and to huge venues, so it's going to be really exciting.
Well, lots and lots of love
with
you.
Thank you very much.
And give our love to Hugh
when
you see him.
I will. All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you.
That was the Musicals and Theatre podcast, and if you enjoyed that, then why not subscribe? It's absolutely free to our channel on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also hear me every weekend morning from 6 till 10 on Mellow Magic.
Are you looking for a Columbus car dealership built on tradition and trust? Buyers Auto, family-owned since 1897, offers top new and pre-owned vehicles. Visit us or shop online at buyersauto.com. Buyers Auto, driving the next generation of buyers.
¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.